At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
Oh, final hour of this edition of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. In about a half hour, we're going to bring Steven Ruderman in studio. And who knows what happens there. Get the live Ruderman replay.
You're going to wake him up.
We're gonna uncork all of his hot Giants takes. And yeah, he's going to have a lot. And they're going to make... Our YouTube chat, Dan, goes nuts when you and I talk or when our guys during the week talk. I'm very curious to see how our YouTube chat reacts to Steven Ruderman's hot Giants takes.
So I have a question. Who has the best baseball knowledge when it comes to the San Francisco Giants at 95.7 The Game? I put you at the top, but Shasky is kind of could give you a run for your money.
I think it's a tie between Shasky and I, with Willard right up there as well.
Willard, really?
Yeah, I say that's your trifecta of Giants talk right there.
I didn't know Willard knew his
Giants. Oh no, Willard, he grew up in the whipping winds of Candlestick. Yeah. So. Okay. No, he's very tapped in Giants fans. So I would say,
On yourself if the three of you had some sort of a quiz?
Yeah. Chesky thinks he knows everything of the Giants, but
now that might be a little hole for you there, though. It might be a wart on the Lubman resume, because if you have to go back to Candlestick, maybe some of these things will predate you when it comes to Willard.
Oh, no, I know my Giants history.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I read all sorts of Giants history books as a kid growing up.
No, my Jeopardy.
That would be fun.
Would Pasta be in the conversation?
Bring Jockberty back with Whitey Gleason.
Would Pasta be in the conversation for
Rosado's pretty baseball? Tapped in too. Yeah,
I feel somewhat confident.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Put him on the.
How can we do this one day?
We'll have to figure out how we do that at some point.
I know Shasky is maybe just because he's so loud that he stands out as far as the guys knows his Giants baseball certainly.
He's definitely the loudest
against the Giants.
He's definitely the loudest Giants fan, I think.
But he backs it up. He has
maybe
a lot.
Maybe I'm
of,
the one who's wrong.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I honestly think of the three sports, basketball, football, baseball, that we talk about primarily at this station.
Definitely baseball.
Like baseball's definitely the one that he gets up the most for, and that's why I think made this summer such a kind of ironically fun is that we've had some really good baseball conversations on the Morning Roast throughout this summer.
Yeah.
About this team. Whereas in the past years, it's been so hard to talk about the Giants because of just how mediocre they were. Where it's obvious, like, the two kind of teams that get talked about, really, really good teams
right.
and really, really bad teams. It's the mediocre ones that make for kind of rough sports talk conversation. And this has been a bad season. It's led to, you know, in an unfortunate sense, some really good Giants talk there.
Who gets up the most for basketball?
Basketball, I mean... I'll still consider Bonte part of the station, but Bonte is probably the big basketball
Steiny.
Guy.
Yeah.
Steiny as well. Yeah,
go Warriors!
Bonte and Steiny are probably, I would say, the top basketball guys here at the station.
Football?
Ooh. Taking Lo Neal off the board.
See, Lo Neal has hair now?
I did see that. Yeah, he was looking pretty good in the green t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, where'd the hair come from?
Good for him, man. He's growing the hair out. I like it. He's almost caught up to me. But
no, he's got a waist.
I love Lowe. One of my favorite guys working. He literally looked like he came from a workout. Like, he wasn't sweating, but, like,
yeah.
I feel like if he worked out in what he wore that day, I would not be surprised. Like, he's sitting on that pregame panel next to Matt Lively, and Matt, I love Matt. He's all suited up.
Yeah.
And then he got Lowe there looking like, you know, the little green bean there.
Looked like a fan.
He did, but.
And he'll be back on pregame
with Evan
this
right
year.
On.
Honestly, if you want to talk football, like, Evan and Grandy, they know their stuff, especially Grandy. I think Grandy's locked in. He might be.
Football, generally speaking, or Niners?
I guess Niners. Okay. I think Grandy might be the Niner guy at this
stretch
case, if I'm being
real. More.
There yeah. you go. Grandy's right. Niners need to stretch more.
Wow, Grandy drop.
Yeah. Stretch more. We got to go to break. Shut up, Dib.
Shut up, Willard. Oh, my God. You only got, like, what, 3 or 4 drops of me, though, right, Risotto? I got, like I said last week, I got to say more stupid stuff. I hate that that's one of my top drops right there.
If I were to sit down with someone for dinner, I'd probably do Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're not going to finish it where I include George Washington and just make it horrifically awkward?
Yeah, Dan, he said he would, if he had anybody to sit down with for a dream dinner, it would be MLK and George Washington. And who was the other one?
Doesn't matter. The dinner got ruined with those two.
Why not Obama?
I don't know. Because if MLK is there, MLK, Obama, and George Washington at the same table. I think we can put our differences aside, though, for that dinner.
Would be uncomfortable for George.
I think he'd get over it. George understands. George was a good leader. He understands that sometimes you need to set your personal squabbles aside for something greater there. That's how he made America, back when we had, you know, real leaders. And now here we are.
God bless America.
Anyway, we are talking about the...
Jen doesn't do baseball, does she?
No, she's called in and talked ball before.
Has?
Yeah, she's called in on the show a couple times.
Oh,
stop striking out. You know, advance the runner.
There you go.
She could be a great addition to this Giants coaching staff.
Nobody owns the G-Wiz.
She really
we
does.
We need to prove it.
I wish Jan would call in. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. How are we feeling about the legacy of Buster Posey in terms of the job that he is doing here as the president of baseball operations for the Giants? And, you know, again, we're reacting to the Athletic story that asked that question that Brittany Garoli wrote. Buster Posey's Giants legacy is on the line as adulation is shifting to anger. And we've been kind of breaking down how this article has portrayed him, how much is it him versus ownership. I think another question that kind of comes from this as you're reading this is just the overall, is he just able to handle this job or is he in over his head? Because again, Dan, it breaks down how he took this job and how he came back to be part of ownership, had no desire to take the president of baseball operations position, but he kept driving over the Bay Bridge every day. He kept seeing the ballpark and just got that itch. And I think you see this with a lot of athletes when they leave sports. It's hard for them to leave it behind. And this is where I kind of say, like, was he overreactionary and tried to take this position or over impulsive when he tried to do it? It's like when he comes in with this set decision, I'm not taking this job, but he keeps saying the ballpark and that makes him change his mind. Did he need to change his mind there? I guess big takeaway I came away from the story was is just how Buster came to decide that he wanted this job. I almost kind of wish, like, maybe you should have taken some more time to think about how badly he wanted this job to decide whether it was truly right for him to do it before he pulled the trigger.
It's not about whether or not he wanted the job. The question should have been all along as to whether he's qualified.
I think that's another part of that. Some that maybe, again, you consider by taking that time to think about it.
And you know how I was telling you that the job has very little to do with his background and or resume or qualifications. Like, it has become so nuanced and so nerdy to your point where there's so much data that's involved. And look, I'm just reading off the top here. So David Frost for the Oakland A's, whatever. He's the GM.
Well, he just got dismissed. So, yeah.
But he's a Harvard guy. Mike Hazen for the Arizona D-backs, Princeton. Mike Elias, Baltimore Orioles, not a bad GM. Yale University. Craig Breslow, Yale University.
Former player, too.
Carter Hawkins, Vanderbilt, University of Michigan. And it's not about that you got to go to college, but it's like top business schools and Ivy League schools that emphasize things like statistics and emphasize things like what it is that these guys do with numbers that I couldn't even calculate in a million years. But that's That's what's trending in Major League Baseball when it comes to general managers. I said this at the time of the hire, and everybody was so excited about Buster Posey being the general manager. And I said that has very little to do as far as impacting the game. The fact that he's a beloved San Francisco Giant, or that he was a catcher and knows the game, or knows how to, what he thinks, to recreate winning here in San Francisco. It's these dudes, these guys, this is the first 10 guys I'm reading here. Is it Chernoff?
Well, yeah, it's just you look at
Chernoff.
All the, I think, yeah, what you're getting
Cleveland,
at is
you Princeton look at, University.
Andrew Freeman, where did he go? He didn't play baseball, but he went to school somewhere fancy. Theo Epstein, considered one of the greatest executives in baseball history. He was hired, at age 28 to run the Red Sox in 2003, and he played, a year of high school baseball.
Yeah.
Like, this concept of you have to have played this game before doesn't really apply anymore. And currently, Dan, there are five baseball executives active right now who have playing experience, Buster being one of them. You mentioned Craig Breslow. Chris Young is the president of baseball operations down for the Rangers. He obviously won the World Series in 23 with the help of Bruce Bochy, but things have not been going smooth for Texas outside of those seasons. Trader Jerry DePoto. Jerry DePoto, I call him Trader Jerry because he loves making trades. Up in Seattle, who's had mixed success up there. And Mike Rizzo, another former player. I guess Chris Getz, who's with the White Sox, also is a former player. He's part of their executive team as well. So six teams employ executives that have played the game before. This is all to say that there are 24 other teams that have guys who have zero Major League professional baseball experience running their teams, among them the Andrew Friedmans, among them the Dave Dombrowskis, among them the A.J. Prellers, who have had a lot of success in this job because it's just, again, it's the playing of baseball and the business of baseball. What we're seeing here is that there's a big chasm between
exactly.
the two.
Exactly. And that's, I guess, my point at the end of the day, that's what the job entails. And, God, man, if you ever walk into one of these guys, Sandy Alderson, I always remember this story. Somebody went in and interviewed Sandy Alderson when he was the former president of baseball ops or general manager here of the Oakland A's, and then he took over for the New York Mets, and walked into his office one day and could not believe, like, the minutia. Like, the guy had these boards behind him of, like, he knew every, like, single A minor league baseball player was charted on this graph, and their backups at the A level and what they were making. And then, to think about double A and triple, like, that's who succeeds. Like, that is that Buster Posey at the end of the day? Does he want to, like, pour through all that data? But those are the sort of guys, and I think that's the way you need to be equipped and wired in order to be good at this.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say that Buster's not going to be good at it.
He has every ability to grow into this position and get better on the job. But unfortunately, and Dan, you've brought this up in the past, you're the Giants. There shouldn't be any on-the-job learning when you are the Giants. Like, if this was the Royals or the Reds or the Twins or one of those other, below-the-line organizations that we think the Giants are not, different conversation, but, like, those are the kind of small market teams. That's where these kind of moves you can kind of do that in. But when you're in a major market, fifth most valuable team in baseball, the West Coast Yankees financially, essentially, why are we doing this on-the-job ability when we have the resources to get people out there who just know how to do this job? It's just, and this is why it's hard not to look at the hiring of Buster and think that this was a nostalgia play. This was a fan service play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring in a guy who we can use as a shield to kind of block fan ire, and that's not how this works.
Yeah.
Buster will always be beloved to a degree here in this market, but if you hire...
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's...
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint. Print.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out.
That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Buster Posey be your president of baseball operations because you think that, oh, we're happy now. No, that's not how this works.
No.
And
I just never thought he was qualified for the job.
Even Mike Dunleavy, for all the grief we give him, he worked under Bob Myers for 4 or 5 years before he got elevated to the big job. Like, if Buster had spent, you know, maybe a couple of years under, you know, Brian Sabian or Evans, if that opportunity was there, or if Buster, you know, operated under Farhan for a couple of years in that sense, you know, there's that kind of on, that's how you get the on the job training, is at a lesser position, then you get elevated. In the moment, though, I'm not saying it's impossible that the on the job training will work out. It's very possible that a couple of years from now, Tony and Buster are a very successful duo, and we're looking back on this season and having a good hearty laugh about it. It's not a guarantee. It could happen that way, but it's just, it's going to be a bumpy, lumpy, unfun, grumpy process as we go through it. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text, talking about Buster Posey's legacy. And let's get one of our high-profile callers in here. It was his birthday this week, Dan. Philmo Mike. Philmo, how are you doing today, man? I wish you happy birthday the other day. I'm going to do it again right now. Happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, man, I appreciate the love, bro. You know, as you get older, you get more humble. And then people say happy birthday, they don't have to say, hey.
We got the one you liked again for you, too.
Hey. I'm literally dancing, doing a two-step, thinking I'm Michael Jackson and rock with you. But listen, I disagree. Barry Bonds, if Barry Bonds comes to the podium, Tim Lincecum is a great guy. He's a cool guy. He's up there. He ain't with Barry Bonds, though. That's just my opinion. Second opinion, Dan, what the hell we talking about, bro? We talking about Yale colleges? Just because you go from San Francisco to New York, you think you bougie now, bro? We don't care about Yale College, Harvard. Get some damn good baseball players. And what are we doing? Let's stop playing out here. Get some good baseball players. You traded away a Ryan. You traded. Bro, get a good team. Get a defensive team and make it happen. It's not brain surgery. I swear to God, I wish it was Eddie and I would be Goldberg and I could be the coach and the GM. Bro, let's get some good ball players in here. What are we talking about? What are we doing? Why are we wasting our time talking about analytics? He can play baseball. He hit the baseball. He picked the baseball up. Keep him. Trade him because he sucks. What the hell are we talking about? You can hit a fastball. You hit a 90. Bro, I'm so sick of analytics, bro. I swear to God. And shout out to Mike Kruko. Barry Bonds should be the next person that replaces Mike Kruko. Boom, man, I'm out. Let's go.
Philmo fired up.
Philmo Mike celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday, Philmo. Imagine going from a two-step, listen to happy birthday, to screaming like that. That's why we love Filmo.
It's a range of emotion.
I can't. What Filmo said on the surface isn't incorrect. I mean, it's simple. Just go out and get good baseball players, but it's actually not that simple. It's hard to find the right good baseball players. I mean, you could say that Buster Posey's three biggest moves were not analytically driven. Matt Chapman, Willy Adames, Rafi Devers. Those were simple. We need good baseball players. Let's go get good baseball players. And we're not liking those moves right now.
I think he defined exactly what it is that I was sort of talking about. That it's just go out and get good baseball players, and it's not about the analytics of these guys who go to Ivy League schools. And I'm sorry, but it is a little bit more nuanced than mm-hmm. that.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many shades of gray.
And so I know we think that, like, just go out and get good players, but that's sort of Buster Posey. I mean, not to that degree, but I think it's just sort of he knows baseball. He's a former catcher. He won here. Let's just hire him. But there are so many different layers that you got to pull back on this thing. And the reason I'm reading these guys off, I'm not making it up. There's a trend in baseball now where these are the guys who are successful at it, happen to have a degree that's not necessarily baseball-based, but rather it's more leaning towards data and all that sort of the prerequisites.
That's what's in vogue right now. And it's actually something that Ruderman and I were having a conversation about last night. And I brought this up earlier, Dan. The analytics have, you know, so reduced the margin for error around baseball. But baseball, I think, was also just such an abstract sport because it was very human-driven for a long period of time. You're seeing this a lot with ABS this year and umpiring, where in the past the strike zone was, you know, kind of nebulous because it was a guy with his eyes creating an imaginary box with his brain and saying, all right, that's where the strike zone is. You know, the strike zone is a pitch that between certain periods, points that you're imagining can be hit. But with all the data we have now, we now have a defined strike zone that we're coming, you know, more and more comfortable with. The concept of abstract in baseball is kind of fading away because there's so much data, there's so few margins for error, there's so much drive and push to be successful around those margins. The concept of abstract is just, it's fading away. It's an unfortunate part of the game. But again, it's the reality of how the game is evolving. Like, the data is here to stay. It's not going anywhere until the grid blows up and we have to go back to, you know, living in the Stone Ages. You know, that'd be great for baseball, bad for, you know, the rest of the world. Again, talk about this Buster Posey article again that came out of The Athletic. Brittany Garoli wrote it. Buster Posey's Giants legacy is on the line as adulation is shifting to anger here. We're talking about Buster Posey being qualified for this position, 888-957-9570. I think another aspect of it that I'm curious of, just two other aspects I think Buster's dealing with here that I got to imagine are a massive challenge for him. One is the lack of control, and then two is the extra scrutiny. You know, again, a line here from a passage from this article. The architect of the roster has been grappling with something he never did as a player, lack of control. Rival executives warn Posey not to live and die with every win or loss, and that the further you get away from the field, the harder it is to live with the results. This quote from Buster, you have control over trades or signings or who to release, but it's very concise. Posey goes on to say that maybe there's a buildup to those decisions, but then they happen in a small moment of time. Then you live with those decisions and something there. Sometimes there's not anything you could do to rectify it if you want to go back on something. Whereas if I make a poor decision on a swing of the plate, Posey snaps his fingers, I could change that on the next pitch. Adjusting to that lack of control that you have from player to executive, I don't think it's as simple as just saying you got to let go of that control and just let the chips fall as they may, which is what you have to do. Saying it is super easy. Dealing with it is another issue. Like, actually going through that, I think, is something that we on the outside just can't really come to grips with, because how could we, Dan? We're not in that position.
Yeah, I think it just gets down to the lack of experience. It's sort of like the Tony Vitello hire. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of experience, and I just don't think that he has the credentials to be successful at the job. And that sounds really counterproductive when you're thinking about Buster Posey in a Giant uniform or anything to do with baseball, mm-hmm. and specifically the Giants. But again, the position of what it is that the president of baseball ops and what it is required to do in order to be good. And again, to be good, I'm just taking a look at a sample size of the top five GMs according to One Loss Records. And these dudes, you could throw a fastball harder than any of these guys.
Yeah. But to that point, though, they've never been in that on-field situation. They have that control. It's almost like they kind of take this position understanding that there is a lot out of their control, so they can't really worry about that. Whereas when I see Buster make some of what now looks like kind of rushed, maybe, you know, overcorrection moves of signing Chapman, Adamas, trading for Devers. When you're a player, when you make a snap change like that, you can always just change back. Like, yeah. Let's say you make an adjustment. This adjustment didn't work. Let's try something different. Buster made what essentially are three adjustments to this roster, but make an adjustment to the roster, you're stuck with. Making an adjustment at the plate, as he says, you can change in your next at bat. That is something I think that he needs to kind of a reality that you have to kind of play around with and kind of come to peace with in order to do this job successfully. You can't rush into certain deals just because they look good on the surface. You got to really dig down deep and be like, how does this play out over the next 8 years and $295 million worth of time in regards to the Rafi Devers deal? And that's why I think, again, when that deal was made, a lot of executives around the league were like, are you okay if you want to do that? Same thing with the Tony Vitello hire. Like, you got to think long-term on this. You can't just be thinking in the moment. And it's why a lot of people are like, all right, if you really want to do that, like, that's part of a give and take of the job that is, I think, very difficult for former players to kind of to grapple with. Some former players have been able to, some don't. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for one being able to succeed and one not. It is different for every person in this situation.
Well, the fact that Buster Posey's never done this before and he's come to this realization of sort of what it is that he said in the article, that this is what I've learned. Well, this learning curve and learning on the job has come at the expense of the San Francisco Giants,
mm-hmm.
which is why, getting back to my point, is why you want somebody who can avoid or at least knows where the landmines are and how to avoid all of this, who's been there before. And so, again, it's not on Buster Posey, but it was the idea that he is suited for the job. Mm-hmm. And now a year and a half in, and you're in this mess where I think if Buster Posey could do it all over again, he would chalk it up to experience that, no, I've learned from these mistakes. Unfortunately, these mistakes have led to a team that is now underachieving in nearly, what, 21 games under 500?
Yeah, there you have 22 now, 50 and 72 with 40 left. So we're
possibly the most important job you'll ever have here in 95.7 The Game.
Oh, boy.
You got to wake up, Ruderman.
He's awake.
Okay. All right, we're going to have our live in-studio Ruderman replay. On the other side, though, again, before we get to the break, I want to finish off with this last Buster Posey quote, because, again, we talk about, is he qualified for the job? At the end of the day, Buster thought he was. There's a line here. He says at the beginning of his interview, I'm here because I believe I can do this, he says at the beginning of an hour-long interview. Not to sound harsh, but I try not to sweat some opinions out there that I wouldn't ask for advice. And that's something maybe we can get into with Ruderman on the other side. I am curious how the outside noise does factor into what Buster Posey does on a day-to-day basis. Because, I mean, obviously there's the stuff that's going on at the other station. They've been very, very not afraid to hide their distaste for Buster's performance. When it's coming from your flagship station, there's a little bit more like, huh, what's going on there that takes place? This is a guy, Buster, who never had anything negative said about him as a player. And now he's getting only negativity thrown around about him now as an executive. I want to kind of maybe debate a little bit on the other side how that might be factoring into his job right now. So we will wrap this show up on the other side. Steven Ruderman's going to come in and he's going to tell us all the things that are wrong about data and analytics in baseball. He's going to give us all the reasons why umpiring needs a renaissance and all other of these old-fashioned fun baseball tanks. So live Steven Ruderman replay on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
We got to go to break.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay, the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
Ah! Is this a crossover? Some impromptu live in studio, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, is one, the only, Steven Ruderman. And he's been on these airwaves so many times. I figure, you know, if you're in town for the weekend, Steven, let's just get you in here and just talk baseball with you. Why not?
Hey, it is so much fun to be here in studio. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Anyway, and of course, why not? We're going to do a four-man box here on YouTube. If you're one of the 14 people who are still watching us on YouTube, thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us, by the way, YouTubers. Bees, Book of Barnett, No is always in there. He's one of the legends. Skills, I see you too. Frank, Grimes, I see you as well.
Grimy.
Drew Down with your new username. I see you as well. Spambot that Steven Risotto just blocked. I see you as well. Ed, I see you also, but you're not contributing anything useful.
Hey.
So thank you to everybody on YouTube. And of course, Steven Risotto, we're going to get you in on this conversation this morning too. How you doing, Rizzo?
I don't think I've ever been seen before.
I think this is your YouTube debut.
It might be.
This is the end of both of you guys.
And he gets to do it behind the glass because of just how awkwardly we got things set up here. So before we start talking amongst ourselves, we do got a caller on the line. We got Frank all the way out in Hot Atlanta. He's got some thoughts on Buster Posey. Frank, how you doing this morning, dude? It's gets the afternoon now for you out in Atlanta. You're on the wrap. How's it going?
Hey, it's going fine, guys. How you guys doing? Great show. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm good with Buster. Buster Posey is the president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants. He's not the general manager of the San Francisco Giants. His job is the entire franchise, from coaching, development, scouting, everything. All of that's his job. His job is to go out and find good people and put them in the proper positions to do those jobs.
Okay.
The Giants, when Buster took over that job, the Giants were the 27th ranked minor league organization in baseball. They're fifth now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a success. We have a minor league system that is full of assets. Now, the major league thing is a thing of putting a product on the field to fill the seats, and he did that also. A lot of that falls on the players. The players are producing, but the one thing that did happen to the Giants this year was we sold off our bullpen last year and pitching prospects last year to restock our minor leagues, which got us from 27th to, what, 5th or 6th. So the guys who he thought were going to take off in the minor leagues didn't have great years. So our bullpen sucked. There's right. nothing we could do yeah. about that. Buster had to rebuild the minor league system, and he's done that. Now, some of those contracts, if those guys turn around and start hitting next year, we might be able to get off of Matt Chapman or Willie Adames next year. Awesome. Chapman's hurt, and Willie's demotivated. Devers does what Devers does. He's going to reach his numbers. Someone might get desperate and want him, but that might be one we eat. But you can't blame Buster for making the splash move because the guy is making his numbers.
Mm.
We just don't have pitching.
Yeah.
The Giants have to be built on pitching and defense.
Yep.
We play in Candlestick North. We don't have a choice. And the only way we can get pitching is through free agency and trade.
Yeah, or the draft as well. Thank you for the call there, Frank, in Atlanta. He's definitely got takes.
Taking a Ruderman time.
Yeah, Ruderman, what do you think of the performance that Buster's done so far? You agreement with what Frank's saying there?
With the minor league system, absolutely. Let's be honest here. The Giants, it's been obvious since 2024 that the Giants have needed to rebuild. They were starting to rebuild in 2019 and then 2021. It's like, oh, we got everything we need. Rebuild over. And then 3 years of mediocre baseball made it quite clear. And then last year they tried to go all out. And when they collapsed last July, Buster finally got, okay, time to rebuild. And as I've said, they've been quietly rebuilding since last July. What I do like is that they're not doing the teardown rebuild, and I hate teardown rebuilds. I really do, because when you're the start of the year, you're 0-0 like everyone else. And I find it insulting when a team's like, well, you know, we're not going to go anywhere this year. As poor a job as Buster has done in terms of the 2026 season, and let's be honest here, he has. I do appreciate that even though he is rebuilding, and I think that is his top priority, he is still trying to compete at the same time, though. Hopefully next year, and I say next year because I do not accept a whole year without baseball, he could do a better job at trying to compete.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I feel like Buster is kind of hanging his hat on now that does kind of keep him around, the similar thing for Farhan is Farhan did kind of beef up the farm system a little bit, not a whole lot. But this is the first time I can remember in Risotto, I'll bring you in on this too. I can't remember the last time the Giants had a farm system that was rated this high amongst the other teams in baseball than it is now.
It has to have been the Posey, Lincecum. Well, Lincecum was a little bit before that, but it had to have been Posey, Bumgarner, Panic, kind of that era.
Kane.
But even I don't even know if that era was this prolific in terms of international, a lot of money in international free agent signings, and the Joshua Gonzalez's and the Luis Hernandez's and guys that are just so young, and not just that they're so young, they're coming up together and they're going through the minor league system together. And I feel like that, I can't remember the last time we saw that where it's just simultaneously happening, especially they all play the same position. So it's kind of interesting, but I can't remember the last time it was this stacked, and I feel like it's only going to get better.
Not in our lifetimes, that's for sure, because the entirety of the time that I've been a Giants fan, and that's the last 25, 26 years, the Giants have never really had a great farm system.
No, I mean, they had the success in the 2010s, but I think, yeah, to Risotto's point, I don't remember that farm system ever being like lauded to that degree. That's, I think, what made that run so special.
Well, one thing that we have to sort of keep in mind here is that farm system and those picks in 2010 were good picks because they were proven at the major league level. So before we get ahead of ourselves, as of right now, there are good prospects that he's traded for. But until these prospects turn into the next Lincecum, Kane, and Crawford, we have to exert a little patience.
And the Giants have had a lot of prospects who we thought were going to be the next big thing. Christian Arroyo, Marco Luciano, Gary Brown, you name it. And the one thing the Giants have not been the greatest at, and this goes all the way back to Bobby Evans, is developing. They're not the greatest at developing guys. They'll have some talent in the farm system, and then they can't develop them. And then some guys don't really pan out here, like, say, Adam Duvall, and then they go elsewhere and make it big. Luis Castillo, another example of that.
I mean, Kyle Harrison.
Kyle Harrison.
That's the most recent one, and I've heard, the streets are talking, as we like to say. The pitching development around Kyle Harrison was absolute bupkis.
Yep.
Now, he wasn't healthy for a lot of his time here, but the Brewers, I think part of it, the Brewers are just a cut above in terms of their player development. But I think the pitching development has been the most concerning over the last few years. From Madison Bumgarner's debut to Blade Tidwell's debut, I would argue that the best pitchers developed by the Giants in that time is Logan Webb, obviously.
Right.
Landon Root might be the second best pitcher to come out of the Giants farm system, though, since Madison Bumgarner's debut.
Yikes. I'm trying to think, is there anyone else?
I don't know. Risotto, is there a name that I'm
Camille
missing?
Maybe Duvall?
I guess starting pitching. Let's just focus there.
Starting pitching, I don't think they've had a homegrown international starting pitcher since... It's been a long time, since the 90s. I believe Solomon Torres was the last international homegrown international pitcher.
Jeez. Like, yeah, that's internationally. You mean,
and that is not counting Puerto Rico, so Jonathan Sanchez does not count.
Yeah. I mean, it's littered with just failed pitching prospects from Kyle Crick, Chris Heston, Stratton, and among others, just so many others, just failed pitching opportunities here. And that is why it's so important that the Giants did go out and stock up on minor league pitching here at this trade deadline, because, again, how are they going to win? Pitching and defense.
Yep.
And they need the pitching, though. They haven't really had the pitching. And part one is getting the pitching. Part two is the harder part. How does Buster Posey completely overhaul the pitching development side of things right now with this team?
Well, I mean, that's the $10 million question, is because you're depleted on both ends with a bullpen, which has got to start from anew, from ground zero, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then a rotation that's got one guy that I feel comfortable rolling out there, that being Logan Webb. I don't know how you feel about this, Rudiment. I know 1 through 9 could use some improvements. That's not my concern. Like, if you were to roll these guys out next year and tell me this team goes to the playoffs, now you got to overhaul that pitching staff. But that's really where this begins and ends. It's the pitching. Yes, certainly the hitting could be a lot better, but I think that this is exclusively on getting better relievers and certainly addressing that starting rotation.
It's amazing how many Giants fans wanted to go get Bryce Harper or Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto, because they want to emulate the Bonds days, when they forget that, well, Bonds didn't win any titles here.
Yeah.
It was pitching and defense that won titles here. And you look at the way that teams play today with the three true outcomes and try and hit home runs. And what this team's trying to do, and this is the Hunter Mintz approach, which worked in Toronto, which is a bandbox, which is get guys on and then try and hit the three-run homer. Well, this is Oracle Park. This is not a park made for home runs. You have to build a team accustomed for your ballpark, and it's about pitching, it's about defense, it's about small ball, and it's about station-to-station contact hitting. And the Giants really, more than anything, need pitching. You think of how they won those championships. The Giants had an historically great rotation in the late 2000s. Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, Madison Bumgarner, Jonathan Sanchez. If Jonathan Sanchez wasn't such a head case, like yours truly, he could have been a Hall of Famer. He had the best raw stuff of any of the pitchers in that rotation.
People forget he had the best ERA on that 2010 championship team.
I think if he was stronger mentally, and I don't mean this as an insult because I have so much respect for Jonathan Sanchez. I was at his no-hitter, one of the greatest nights of my life, by the way. He could have been a Hall of Famer. That's how good his stuff was. And the Giants really need to develop starting pitching. Buster did a really good job of getting some hitters since he took over. And actually, even when he took over at the end of 24, prior to realizing last July that he needed to rebuild, he did start stocking up on the farm system, but he's finally this year really going all in on pitching. Jackson Flora, I am so excited to see what this kid can bring and when he might come up to the big leagues. And
Tugboat.
Oh, right. That's right. The Giants got him from Cleveland. I'm excited.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right. So one thing I would say, but Rudiman, wouldn't you agree that it's sort of feast or famine? Like, I think it's a balance between the two. Like, I understand that when the Giants win, it's...
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
Signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's...
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW24. For 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork.
But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
It's got to be conducive to this ballpark, and this ballpark is gap to gap, station to station. You're all right about that. But isn't that sort of the knock on this team the last 4 years into Bob Melvin and even the latter part of Farhan's run here, as well as Gabe Kapler, is that they didn't have a guy who could just give you three runs with one swing of the bat. While you still have to play defense and station to station, you still need an Eldridge, or you still need a Buster Posey, as he was back in the day, and this team has been lacking that. So it's you can't – if you're station to station and gap to gap, then you're sort of what Farhan did his last 3 years when they were bad. You're sort of what Bob Melvin was when it didn't have – you need, I think, at least one or two guys in that lineup that strike some sort of fear, or legitimate three or four hitters in order to be good in today's Major League Baseball. Not the entire team. You don't have to be the Yankees. You don't have to be the Dodgers, but you need a few of those guys.
I think a team like the Blue Jays, and this is a team you and I have argued about a lot, Steven. By the way, the voice you're hearing here is that of Steven Ruderman. You can see his stuff on Sports Radio Service, covers the Giants and the Sacramento Rivercats. Having him in studio today. If you've listened to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, you've heard him every week on this show, part of the Ruderman Replay, which we will hear in just a moment. But the Blue Jays, and of course, they got Hunter Mentz, who was their hitting instructor last year, hitting coach for the Giants this year. It's a very good aggressive attack the zone, get guys on base, and then bring them home with the big fly right there. That helps when you got a guy, in theory, like Vlad Jr. in the lineup. But I don't know, Steven, to Dan's point, though, do you kind of see some merit to that?
Yes, it doesn't hurt to have a guy like that, but the problem is with Hunter Mentz is they're strictly relying on that, and you can't rely on that in this ballpark. And the Giants did hit for a lot of power in 2021. The thing was, from 22 to 24, they were trying to hit home runs. I remember after a loss against the Braves back in August of 2023, Gabe Kapler's like, you know, obviously we're not hitting as many home runs as we want to hit. And it's like,
obviously,
that June when they had their 10-game winning streak, they weren't relying on home runs. They were relying on station-to-station hitting. Last year, when the Giants got off to their 24-14 start, they were hitting some home runs. They were actually doing it the way, Dan, you said they were supposed to be doing it, which is they were doing station-to-station with some home runs. They was actually working perfectly, and then in the middle of May when they started sputtering, they started trying to hit home runs exclusively again. You can't get into that mindset of home run or bust. The real moment this year that I think set the tone for the season was the bottom of the first inning on the Netflix game. Willie Adames is up with runners at first and third, one out, has a chance to get the big hit in front of the entire country in the first game of the entire season. He wants to hit the three-run homer. He strikes out. Jung-Hoo Lee grounds out. Then the Yankees score five runs in the top of the second inning. That set the tone perfectly for the season. Yes, it is good to have some power, but you shouldn't be wholly relying on it. And unfortunately, way too much this season, especially from Willie, especially from Rafi, you're seeing them just try and hit home runs in big situations. And that's one of the reasons that, despite the fact that the Giants have one of the highest batting averages in baseball, they're up there in hits, that they can't really score runs. This is not a ballpark conducive for home runs, and you can't be trying to hit the big three-run homer at Oracle Park. You just can't.
No, it's
let's get rid of Devers. Are you with me?
Yeah, and I'm, you know.
Why do you want to see Devers gone so bad?
A guy like Devers is selfish. What he did in Miami was unacceptable. What he did on Sunday was unacceptable when he hits a pop-up that falls in and only is at first base.
He's dogged it on a lot of these pop-ups. There's the one against the White Sox.
He
almost got thrown out on that one. Like,
there was the double that should have been a triple against the Pirates on Mother's Day that he would have scored on had it been a triple, and the Giants were an out away from losing that game, though they came back and won. It almost cost the Giants the game. And the fact that, here's the thing with Tony. I like the idea of college managers going to the show. But what this year has shown is that they shouldn't go directly to the show. And Tony is managing scared. Let's be honest. I think Tony has what it takes to be a great big league manager. And I really do sincerely hope that the Giants hold on to him. But he's been managing scared. And when he didn't bench Rafi after not legging out the ball off the wall, when he didn't bench Willie after clowning around at second base and forgetting how many outs there were.
Dodger Stadium, yeah.
Didn't bench Rafi after the pop-up. That set the stage for the tantrum that Rafi threw when he was pinch run for in Miami. Because what Tony did was he sent the message that, oh, it's okay if you do this stuff. And when that happens, then you're just going to have chaos throughout your clubhouse.
Really quick, Rizzotto, I want to get you in here as you hang out behind the glass. For those who don't know, that's Steven Rizzotto hanging out behind the glass. And he's got to get himself looking all spiffy for his YouTube debut. How do you view the Rafi-Tony dynamic here? Do they kind of need to figure out a way to move off Rafi, or is there a way to make this all work out?
I think there's a way to make it all work. And one thing I will say about Tony is that I agree, it is unprecedented. And I think the pitching angle of it is so interesting to me, just because Tony's a guy who, and all college coaches are coaches who don't necessarily follow the major league pitching schedule, right? There's no five starters. You got your Friday night starter, whatever it is. Everything's so different, and you could use that Friday guy, or you could use the Tuesday night guy and use him back on Friday, whatever it is. There's so much going on. And Tony comes into camp with a bullpen that just isn't even good. There's a lot of guys in there competing for spots, young guys who are usually starters who could be stretched into bullpen roles. And it's just kind of a mess. And one thing I will say is that the superpower of Tony Vitello when he was at Tennessee was his ability to recruit young players and to bring them to his school and to pitch them the idea of playing at Tennessee is going to advance your baseball career. And when you put him in a big league setting, it takes that superpower away.
There's no recruiting.
There's no recruiting. You don't have like half the job pretty much. So it's almost like the thing that made Tony, like you don't have 25% of that.
No.
And I think you're seeing a situation where he can't, and I don't know the ins and outs of this clubhouse, but he's not able to stand. I'll just say he's not able to stand up to the veteran players. Yeah. When Willy Adames needs a day off, sometimes you as the manager just have to step in and say, you're not playing today. And there hasn't been enough pushback.
Well, I think that brings up an interesting point though, Rizzotto, because when you recruit guys to go, once they say yes, they've bought into what you're selling. They've fallen in line behind you. So when Tony steps into that clubhouse in Tennessee, he's got a bunch of college kids that have already, you know, more or less, I'll use a Game of Thrones term here, bent the knee to him. You don't have that at the big league level.
They're impressed by him. These guys aren't really impressed by him.
What needs to happen, you know, going back to Willie and Rafi, when stuff like that happens, when Rafi doesn't run out a fly ball and it costs your team 90 feet, costs them a run and almost costs them the game as it did against the Pirates on May 10th, when Willie forgets how many outs there are because he's too busy being the class clown at second base, what you do at the very, very, very least, you're not in the lineup the next day. Oftentimes, you're pulled right there and then, and when you do that, you send a message that this will not be tolerated, and that is what he needed to do and what, unfortunately, he was unable to do.
You know what we're able to do right now is we are going to be able to hear a live in-studio replay call of one Steven Ruderman. That is the voice you're hearing right now. Catch him on Sports Radio Service Recovers, the Giants Rivercats. Also an aspiring broadcaster. We do it every week. The Ruderman replay. Here it is. One moment from the Giants this past week with Steven Ruderman on the call. Ruderman, what do you got? What's going to be the play of the week that you recreate for us here?
All right. Bottom of the ninth inning. Here's the pitch to Bryce
Elder. Last night? What were we doing?
Okay. This is last night. You know, Sam and I, Sam, you were talking about this earlier. Last night may have been the worst game overall played in baseball this season. Hey, when it's the Giants and the Rockies, that's what you're going to get. So here is the Bryce Eldridge, Rafael Devers, double play. All right, nobody out, bottom of the ninth inning. Here's the pitch, swinging a high pop-up, shallow left center field. Carrick coming in. He's going to dive, and he's going to make the catch. Rafael Devers is still hitting towards third. He has no clue, and he's going to be doubled off at second base. I think if Rafi didn't see the throw, you'd probably just come in to score an absolutely brutal double play. And just like that, there are two down here in the bottom of the ninth.
And there it is.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Thank you so much for
good to see
in
you
here,
in
Steve.
Person.
Yeah, cool to see Risotto. This is a fun way to end
I
the
see
show.
Risotto every day.
There we go. We got to see him on the YouTube though. We never get to see him on the YouTube. So
Ruderman's the best. He slept on a couch until 11.
Barry Bond style.
There we go. Anyway, that is it for today's edition of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Hey,
happy birthday, Dibs.
Oh my God, Dibs. It was your birthday yesterday.
Thanks.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Dan
happy birthday,
Dibley,
Dibs.
44 years old, does not look a day over that age of 44. So happy birthday to you, one Dan Dibley. He was in need of a birthday. And there it is. So anyway, Dan, thank you. Ruderman, Risotto, thank you. Thank you to everybody on YouTube and everyone else who called in and listened. And of course, Dodgers suck.
Thanks.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.